Wind Down with Jana Kramer, an iHeartRadio podcast.
All right, guys.
Sorry. Where do we start?
Happy Friendsgiving.
Happy Friendsgiving.
I have my four or three. I'm not going to include myself.
Kristen, but is she not coming on?
I don't know. She didn't respond.
Did we text her?
I just now texted her.
She might pop on. She might not. But I've got my three besties here with me, or I like to call them because they're in the group chat as Queendom. We've got Pamela.
Hello.
Who obviously I took my Ireland vacation with. We've got, we know Catherine.
Yeah. Hello.
Catherine. Oh, and we've got Julie.
Hello.
So first and foremost, I'd just like to apologize to the Wind Down listeners. We've had some wine. Okay. But it's been fun, right?
It's been a good time.
So fun.
So tonight we had a Friendsgiving and I feel like I'm a little emotional. Because
you always are.
There's Julie.
And there she is. And there's Julie.
There.
Am I always emotional?
You are, and that's a beautiful thing.
In which way?
That you're just open. You're very vulnerable.
Yeah.
Catherine?
I know I'm not.
It's fine.
So I dropped the kids off today.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. This is the first Major holiday. Mm-hmm. Major holiday that I have not been with the kids. And it was funny when I was talking about it to Pamela, because she works out with me on Tuesdays and Thursdays with Erin Opria, who's an amazing trainer. But she was like, what did you say? You're like, oh, God.
I'm like, you know, listen, I mean, it's really, truly just another day. Like, you have to look at that. Like, you have your, you know, your special moments and your celebrations and your beautiful time with your kids. Like, just because, you know, the world says this day is Thanksgiving, we have to like make it all, you know, crazy in our heads that you're not going to be with them. You're with them constantly every day, making beautiful, you know, time. So just, it just really is just another day.
Mm-hmm. But it was hard. Drop them off. It was hard. I had a good cry. And I want to bring something to it because we were talking around the table because Julie is my like, you're like my
therapist, but not like.
Yes. Julie is the therapist where we sit down and she's like, so what are we going to leave and what are we going to take into the new year? But I'm here for that. Like I'm all like every day I do highs and lows with my kids.
Yes.
And Jace goes, because I don't think he knows like, what we're doing yet. But I appreciate that. And you said something and I was writing notes because I'm like, guys, this is like really good podcast stuff. Like, hold on a second. Okay. I wrote down a lot of feelings. One is I resent myself and feelings. I don't know what that meant, but what I would say is on the way to my ex's house, I shouldn't have been crying, but I was. And I said, and Julie goes, mommy, are you okay? And I go, you know what, Julie, it's okay to have feelings. Mm-hmm. And mommy, sorry for crying, but like, I'm also, it's okay to be sad. And mommy's sad right now that I'm dropping you off. Mm-hmm. And you were saying something like, it's okay to have.
Well, why are you sorry for crying?
Well, I don't want her to see me cry.
Why?
Well, I do and I don't.
Because?
Oh, see, this is what she does. This is what she does. Mm. Julie, I'm just saying.
But what does that mean or say if she sees you cry in one way versus another? Because in her mind, she doesn't know the difference.
Like if she's crying over him or just
versus
like any
crying
because
she saw a Hallmark commercial.
Gotcha.
Right.
Okay.
That's fair. Or Jolie watching the Paw Patrol movie, which she cried in the Paw Patrol movie.
Absolutely.
Okay. That's fair.
What's the question?
What's the difference?
Yeah.
And her seeing you cry.
Why are you apologizing for crying?
Because I don't want her to be sad about the situation because she had said the night before, I wish you were coming with us for the holiday.
Why can't she be sad?
She can. Which is what I was basically telling to her. Like, it's a, hey, baby, like, I'm sorry mommy's crying, but it's okay to be sad.
Yeah.
I think that all sounds really healthy.
But seriously, I do. I think that all sounds healthy.
It's really, it comes from, and I mean, as moms, we all do this. And first, I just want to say, like, this podcast place is such a beautiful place to break all this down because it's such an intimate space that we get to be in. But you, as moms, we're all moms here. We want to fix our children's feelings. We don't want them to be sad. We want them to be happy. We want them to feel light. We want them to feel safe and secure. And we don't want them to feel sad. But what if the sadness is going to be that gift that allows her to then experience something that she needs to experience in her life?
I hear that, but my fear is that then she's going to tie it to the divorce.
And what if she does?
Well, I don't want to ruin, like, oh, mommy was crying when she dropped me off at daddy's house before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that makes sense. But I also don't think that it has to be this bad thing. And that's just us kind of getting to that place of acceptance and not feeling shame around our own feelings about it. Mm-hmm. She may not even be thinking that. I mean, we don't know.
And do you think that's going to like affect her in her life? I mean, because like for me, I mean, I was a, you know, my parents were divorced when I was her age. And I do remember it being weird and everything, but that like has even made me want even more healthier relationships because I didn't want that feeling. And I didn't want, you know, to have that situation that my mom like had to go through. And now I do believe like I'm in a healthy relationship almost because I did see that, as weird as that may sound.
Mm-hmm. And I even think about like the most amazing, incredible people that I know in this world are not the ones that never endured pain. Mm. They are the ones that endured pain. Mm-hmm. They are the ones that, you know, allowed themselves to feel all the feelings and to not feel ashamed for those feelings. And that's the big thing that we were talking about at dinner, was like, what are we letting go and what are we taking with us? And I think a lot of that is the shame for the decisions that we've made and the shame for feeling the way that we feel about the decisions that we made. I mean, we can use like the divorce as that example and leaving that behind, because it may be the very one thing that your kids need in order to become the best versions of themselves.
And I think too, you have to understand, people that don't show those emotions around divorce end up in people that have a hard time showing emotions as adults. Mm. My parents didn't show emotions around the divorce. It was just a matter of fact, we're getting divorced. And then I have my own issues with showing my emotions and dealing with those because of it. So I think you need to see that they may need to see those emotions. They may need to understand that there's emotions around that, that there's sadness around that, because as an adult, then you don't know how to really funnel that. You don't know how to handle your own emotions because you were taught to just have no emotions around it. Mm. I think it's actually really important that you're bringing that up, because that's stuff that I deal with as an adult.
Really?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Hmm. Yeah, because I, like, what, as soon as I dropped them off, I was like, oh, my God, Jana, like, what did you just do? Like, why did you, like, cry and, like, but I also was, like, trying to explain to, like, hey, baby, like, sorry, mommy's just, like, but I, like, was looking at her in the rearview mirror and I'm just like, oh, Jana, like, dry it up, like. But I explained to her, I was like, hey, baby, sorry. Like, mommy's just really sad. Like, I'm going to miss you this weekend, but I hope you have so much fun with daddy and like Nana and Papa. And like, and then I was just like, oh, I've totally screwed them up.
But what if we made crying like this really amazing form of natural expression? Like, why is crying so bad?
You know, why do we try to hold in our tears? Right. Because, you know, it's being vulnerable and like, you know, and that's the whole thing.
And how many of us, it's like you feel, no matter what whether you're crying about something happy or sad or whatever, it's like it starts to come up and then immediately it gets to like here and you're like, oh, bring it down. And it's like, no, what if we just let it out? And that's what we were talking about, that idea of like grief and joy and really how they come from that same emotion. Mm-hmm. Because you can cry tears of joy just as much as you can cry tears of grief.
I mean, I feel like I had that experience today in church. I was at church and I was like, I remember sitting, Julie, you weren't there. I mean, you were very much there in like spirit, but I remember we went to church and it was Pamela and Catherine and Sarah, and we sat there. And y'all just like huddled over me after my divorce. And I was like, just crying like the heaviness and the pain. And then today I was crying in church for light and like love and like hope. And it was like, I remember like, I wouldn't even like stand up. Mm-hmm. And it was like, it was a, such a different cry, you know?
But it comes from that same place. And that's why grief is just as holy as joy is.
Mm. Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm. And to me, they're kind of on, if you think of a quarter, they're on both sides of the coin. Like, you really can't have joy without grief. And I think that grief and crying from that place of grief is really just this invitation and this opportunity to choose to feel the grief so that you can step into the joy that comes. And you may not be able to see it in that moment, but that is what comes. And it all comes from the same place.
I mean, this is all really good. And while we're on you, Julie, can we just talk about, because I think there was something, I don't know, girls, if you felt the same way, but during dinner, I mean, I love Julie. She's just like my, like, what time were you born? Where were you born? I'm going to read your tarot cards. Like, I mean, Julie is like on it, right? But there was something you said tonight, and I didn't honestly get it until you said it, but you're like, 2020 was, it was COVID, but it was easy.
Yeah.
I mean, it was hard. It was very hard, but at the same time, like 2021 was like even harder than almost 2020.
It was hard. Yeah.
And but like, explain that, because like for some reason it just like clicked for me.
Yeah. I was talking to my husband about it the other day, and the way that I visualized it, if any of you have been unfortunate enough to ever be in a car accident, you have the trauma and you know, just the moment and the detriment of the car accident, right? And that's its own moment, and it's horrible and horrific and traumatic. And then after that, you have this period of recovery, therapy, post-trauma that in and of itself is this other form of trauma, because you're having to relearn and rethink and rebuild how you see, do, be in the world. And so I've been kind of equating 2021 as that post-car accident version of trauma. And for me, in my own life, I feel like 2021 has been much harder than 2020. It wasn't the initial car accident that was traumatic as much as it's been the rehabilitation and recovery from that car accident that's been so traumatic. And I think that a lot of us have been feeling that, or at least from around our dinner table this evening, a lot of us had been feeling that way too. And that was kind of my gist of it.
It's good.
We're all like, yeah, Julie.
It's all so good.
Preach.
It's all so good. So's the wine. We're going to continue on this conversation, but let's first take a break. Okay, so something we talked about around the dinner table, because again, this is Friendsgiving. This is an episode where
Friendsgiving.
Amen. We give, and we also we talk about the good, the bad, and right now we're kind of like in the deep right now because we're all very. Catherine's like, can we just like talk about?
It's fine.
And I'm like, no, we are Adele in the shit.
I'm in.
Going in.
Wait, Julie's got me.
Do you like
in.
The Adele album?
I do.
I'm getting there. I gotta sit with it.
I love Adele. She's just, I'm 37, so she speaks to me. You know, no, if I was 21, maybe not. But
true.
I think she speaks to every.
Sit with it for a minute. 30,
I had to, 40 no, year I old. True. I had to. I was you running to it the other day. I was like, I had to.
What were
you
not like feeling?
I mean, I listened to My Little Love, or is that what it's called? My Little Love? That really, because everyone was like talking about that, where I was like, oh gosh.
Was it about her son or her
you
daughter,
would like
her
the song.
Lynn or inner,
like. I Drink Wine. Have you heard
oh,
that
Oh, I love
song?
It. Yes. That's great.
Amazing.
You do like that now. So I at do first like you
that
did one. It.
I like that now.
So there you go.
There was just some things where I was just like, I don't know. It felt like it was like trying too hard.
Yeah. I don't know. She could sing to me the.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
ABCs. For sure. I mean, she's amazing. So yeah. I mean, she's amazing. I don't know where I was going in this, but no, what I was going on was, hold on a second, let me go to my notes, because I wrote a bunch of notes when I was in my thing. Okay. Oh, victimhood. We were talking about being a victim. And that's
just that
which we
thing.
Talked a lot of about coming up too.
Yes.
So victim, you have a lot of opinion on.
I do. I mean, I think that there's a lot of things in life that you can be a victim to. Very much so. I mean, people are victim to things that they did not ask for that happened to them. And that is very traumatic and awful. But then I think that there are circumstances in life that we can also choose, whether consciously or unconsciously, to become victims to. And I think there's a big difference between mm-hmm. the two.
Do you think we all play a victim in some part?
I don't know if we all do. I know that I have in my life. I can speak for myself. I've definitely played a victim to things.
I mean, I can say that I have too, obviously. But where is it where it's we're playing a victim versus we're wanting attention?
Or I don't
we
know.
Truly are a victim.
Right.
I mean, as I say, why is it a negative?
You know, it's not even that I'm asking for attention, but I think that, you know, something horrible could have happened to me that I was just a complete unwilling participant of. And then I have a choice to then subject myself to the continuation of that victimhood or to rise above it. Mm. I think that's the difference for me.
Where's the line though?
Choice. You can't choose what happens to you, but you can choose how you react and you respond to it.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. So there's kind of a difference then in being a victim and kind of staying in that
I think so.
Victim place, mm-hmm. essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it starts with yeah. your thoughts. And I mean, I've said this to Jen all the time. I'm like, change your thoughts, change your life, which is a Wayne Dyer quote. Dr. Wayne Dyer, he passed away a few years ago. He's amazing. But it very much is so. It all comes from our thoughts, because our thoughts control our feelings, which then control how we see the world and feel the world and how we choose to show up in the world. So it controls our reactions and actions to things. And then those things ultimately control our results to how, what is it that we get out of life? And so I think that it really does. Yes, this happened to you and it freaking sucks. Now, what are you going to do about it? Hmm. What other choice do we have? Really?
That's kind of always like what I thought about, like growing up, like, you know, I mean, I had some like unfortunate things and, I just always kind of took it as like, you know, I'm not going to sit here and like cry about it. Like, that's what I always say. I'm not going to sit here and cry about it. I'm going to like rise above and like be better, you know, because of it, and like show people that, you know, you might not have like the perfect, you know, situation or like the perfect, you know, upbringing or whatever it was, but you have the choice mm-hmm. to change it. And that's the bottom line, is like, you can be raised the same exact way as somebody and they might take that mm-hmm. and, you know, use it as a crutch and, oh, this happened to me. But, and then there can be the other person that, you know, is successful and thriving because they chose in their brain to make a choice to not let that get in their way.
And you can still cry about it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know,
crying is good.
You can still cry about it.
Because we're normalizing crying.
Right.
For sure.
I think that's you should normalize yeah. crying. It's just an emotion.
That's true.
But are you going to allow that to paralyze you from getting what you want? And that is a choice.
Yeah.
What if you're scared?
Fear. That's a huge, I think, deep-rooted reason for reacting a lot of the ways that we do. Mm-hmm. A lot of us have resentment because of fear or being scared. We have control issues because of fear or being scared. We have you know, lack of self-confidence or insecurities because of control or fear or being scared. So I think that a lot of things can stem from that. So the question that I would then ask myself is, what am I so afraid of? Mm-hmm. You know, what does this, you know, if this thing were to happen and that made me afraid, then what does that mean? What happens to my life?
Well, I think when you really get into that, it's kind of like when you see what the thing is you're afraid of, it's really not that scary. You know, it's like, what is it you're afraid of? And you see what it is and it's like, that's not that big of a deal, you know, if you really get into it and see what it is that you're afraid of. It's not going to affect your life that much. It's not going to change your life. But I think fear, I mean, I definitely think it's a big thing, but.
Fear and change and doing something different than you've ever, mm-hmm. you know, done before. Which is
fear of safety and security. I mean, it's huge, especially for women. Yeah. You know, security and safety can be defined by so many different ways, but that's a lot of the reasons why, I'm generalizing, but women can react the way they do is this fear out of my safety is going to be rattled, or my sense of security is going to be taken away from me if this happens, or this is going to affect my self-esteem or my personal relationship with something or someone, or my sexual relationship with something or someone. I mean, it all stems from that root of something being taken away from us that we feel like we can't be in control of.
Well, it's also that, and like we were talking around the table too today, you were like, I was saying something. I was like, well, I don't want, like, I don't know why he hates me. She's like, why do you care? Mm-hmm. What does that do?
Like, why can't he hate you?
Yeah.
Because I'm like, well, it doesn't make sense. He shouldn't hate me.
But why shouldn't he?
Well, because X, Y, and Z.
Right. But in his way of being, it's not to say that you aren't right. I'm doing air quotes here. That you aren't right or correct in that thinking. But him being who he is, why shouldn't he hate you?
I told you that before. You have everything. You have an amazing job.
Or just like, why can't he hate you?
Yeah.
Like, why can't he just be who he is? And if he's just someone who happens to hate you, even though that's like an insane, like, why would he hate you? Like, yeah, that's insane. But like, why can't he? Like, why can't we just give him the dignity of being who he is?
And then just be like, okay, whatever. And like, where do you just not care? That's like the piece that like I want from you.
Well, the not caring.
Like not just being like, okay, cool.
The not caring comes from the not minding. And the not minding comes from change your thoughts, change your life.
So explain that.
It's just not my, like, it is, you know, it's raining outside, right?
Okay.
So I have a couple of choices by how I choose to think about that. I can say like, oh, it's freaking ugly outside. It's raining, it's cold, it's gross, it's gray, it's ugly. Or I could be like, oh, wow, it's raining. Okay. Just is. Mm-hmm. Not minding. Yeah. Just raining.
Doesn't affect you.
Right. It's just, it's not that you don't have feelings around it. And it's not that you don't have thoughts around it. It's just you're choosing to not mind it. Hmm. Okay. He thinks this way. Interesting.
So it's a choice. You have to make a choice to
not.
And
it's a practice. Yeah. Like that is a practice of really training. Just like when we go to the gym to work our abs out, you have to work your brain. Mm-hmm. Into thinking in that way. It is a practice and it is something that it's a muscle. Mm-hmm. And so you have to work that in that same way that if you want to get stronger abs and you want to get a stronger brain, then you have to work it in that way. And so it's giving yourself the dignity to not care what other people think about you. And then therefore you give other people the dignity to just be who they are, which means you're also giving them the dignity to think whatever they want to think. Mm-hmm. Because you can't control what other people think about you anyway, no matter how much you try.
Who here cares about what people think of them?
I do.
Julie? Be honest.
It's a very, very small list of people. For me to really be triggered, like, you know, if my family said some things, you know, that they didn't like about me, that would probably bother me, but I would have to really work on training my brain to let that go. But I think that I think for everyone, each of us here and everyone listening, I mean, it's an honor to be able to listen to this podcast. It is an honor to get time with each and every one of you. It's an honor to be your friend. It's an honor to even have our, to have the care and the love that we have for one another. So I feel like, you know, there's only a certain amount of capacity that I can give for that. And so it's a small amount. Does that make sense? Like, it's a small amount of people. Like, if I'm really going to open my heart up and really give myself to someone, it doesn't mean that I don't care about a lot of people or I don't love a lot of people, but I only have so much. We all only have so much. And so that's where the boundaries come in.
Well, and I think if we, I think if we are living like, you know, this righteous life of being, you know, kind and like how we, strive to be, and like we know in our hearts that we're doing the best that we can and giving like all that we can to like our close friendships, I don't care what outside people think about me. I mean, because I know that I'm living a good life and an honest life.
Yeah.
And I hope that I do that to like my, especially my close friends and my family. If I were to hurt somebody that was close to me, which I would never, ever intend because I care so much, yes, I would be devastated and I would care what you, that you thought something that, you know, like that's the only situation. But that came from getting older.
Yeah.
And maturity, though. That was not me.
Well, probably, and I think it came from security, too. Yeah. Like, you know, if my mom, you know, thought something or said something salty, yeah, though I would be like, okay, that would, like, why would she think that? That would bother me. But at the same time, it's like, I am so secure in my love for my mom, and I am so secure in her love for me I'm not going to let that affect
me. That's a good point. It's about who you're secure with.
Right.
I think the people that you're not secure with, it's just a different ballgame. Right.
And that's why we care so much about people that we don't even know what they think about us.
Yes.
Because we're not secure in that. 100%. And so the security really has to come from within. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, if I'm so secure in myself and what it is that I am bringing to the table, whatever that table is, then it's like, I don't care how you receive it. Like, my integrity is...
It's integrity.
It's true here. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's, you know, Jana, with your situation, when you go and drop the kids off, the more that you find that security, like, you're secure in whatever this collaboration, this relationship is. I'm secure in who I am as a mom. I'm secure in who I am as a co-parent. I'm secure in that. And so whatever I am being received, it's like you want to get to that place where, like, it's no skin off my nose. Like, I know who the crap I am.
Mm. It's basically when you have no control over that situation. Mm-hmm. So when we have no control over a situation or what somebody else thinks, we have to, for our sanity's sake, release it. Mm-hmm. Like, we do not have control. Release. Find joy.
It's really hard for us to not have control.
And maybe that's why both of us have the same answer.
100%. It's hard not to have control. Yeah. It's a release of control, and we want to control things, but we cannot control how they feel about us. Mm-hmm. We can't.
Then why do we care, Kat?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. We have to let it go. Mm-hmm.
Why do we care, Julie?
Why do you care?
Because I know who I am.
Okay.
And I want them to know.
I feel like that shows an insecurity in us, though.
Sure.
That we don't, we're like, we know who we are, right?
Question mark?
Question mark? Not exclamation mark, you know?
But that's when it goes back to, sometimes people just aren't going to be able to know and see the way that you do. So in order for you to truly release and care and love that person, you have to give that person the dignity of being who they are, even if that means they never understand you.
That, and I'm like, if they only knew.
Sure.
That's the part that I'm like, if you only knew.
Sure. And you can have that feeling, but screaming that to them, it's like going It's like going to the hardware store to buy milk.
Well, that's what my therapist said. She goes, Jana, you're going to Home Depot for bread.
Yes.
Like, yeah. It's just, like, what are you
therapist
doing?
Therapist Julie, here we go. It's like, why can't I get the milk? It's like, because you're at a hardware store.
Mm-hmm. That's so true.
So let's talk about the giving key. I mean, the giving key. Jesus. Hi, Caitlin Crosby. We love you.
I love you so much, Caitlin Crosby. Where were you going?
Sweet the Caitlin. Giving tree.
Okay.
Because I was at Adam Grant or somebody just posted something about the giving tree, about how it's like, what if the giving tree was like, I'll help you, but I'm not letting you take from me. Okay. Somebody just said like, I will help you, but you can't keep taking. Mm-hmm. At the very end, like, you have to go do this.
Right.
And I don't know who did it, but it was like, I was watching, I was like, holy crap.
Yeah.
Like, because it's like at the very end, the giving tree literally had a stump.
Mm-hmm. Boundaries.
Died.
Yeah, it died.
Died to give somebody else. I'm like, what message is that giving to our kids?
Stop oversharing and overgiving and overextending.
And people pleasing.
Yeah.
It's like in today's generation, like, can we rewrite the giving tree? What would the giving tree look like?
Mm-hmm. Well, that was the whole message of the book, was that the tree gave and gave and gave until it didn't have anything left. Yeah.
I mean, the second I started saying no to things is the second I started saying yes to the things that really mattered.
Mm-hmm. No is a complete sentence.
God, y'all got a lot of good one-liners.
And it takes a long time. I think especially for women to really understand that.
No,
and for anyone that came from any kind of divorced home, dysfunctional home, alcoholic home, addict home, you know, because you're constantly walking on eggshells, trying to fix and shape and please and whatever you need to do to make everyone else feel okay. And as adults, we get choices. And one of those choices is to say no. Without explaining ourselves.
That's so hard.
No.
How do you just say no, period?
No.
Oh, I can't. I always have to have explanations.
So no,
feel good for me.
It was Adam Grant, and he goes, this is how the giving tree should have ended, with the tree teaching the boy to stop taking so she could keep giving. And as each generation played in her strong old branches, a tree often thought back to the fateful day when the boy had asked her for a house. In truth, she would have gladly given him her branches to build one. She would have given him her trunk to build a boat. She loved him that much.
But maybe it wasn't the tree's responsibility to teach the kid that.
Well, here we go. But then she would have had nothing left, not for herself nor anyone else. And there never would have been a home for the red squirrels. There would have been no hide and seek with the boy's grandchildren, no bakery with the best apple pies anyone ever tasted. Setting healthy boundaries is a very important part of giving. It assures you'll always have something left to give. And so the tree was happy. Everyone was. The end.
Okay. So, Jana, how do you define boundaries?
Damn it.
Boundaries are so important. Boundaries.
What is your definition of boundary?
Oh.
Why are you asking this right now?
That's good.
That's a good one.
More one.
It's such a buzzword, I feel like, these days, you know?
And
it's
like, our parents' generation, what boundary was?
And it's such, like, how do you define boundary? It's so unique for each and every person. Like, and that's the thing. A lot of people don't know.
Sorry.
How do you define
a boundary? What a sound. We're winding down, ladies and gentlemen.
How do you define a boundary? Jana, what is your definition of boundary?
No, how do you define a boundary?
I think it's unique to every person.
Oh, that's bad.
How do you define one?
What do you mean?
Like, what is your, how do you?
Is this a trick question?
Shut up, Fanny.
How do you know when you're living within boundaries?
Ooh.
When I feel confident in the decision.
Okay. Catherine?
Well, I had a comment.
But I will say, though, I tried to set a boundary today.
That's what I was going to ask. Did you feel comfortable after you kind of let that boundary go? Or did you feel comfortable when you set the boundary?
So my girlfriends have been trying to have me set a boundary, and I tried very hard today to set a boundary. And someone heard me having the conversation with said someone, and they said, I heard how your voice changed because you got scared.
Mm-hmm.
So did you feel more comfortable when you backed off the boundary?
Yes.
Ooh, see, that's the problem.
not problem necessarily.
No, 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 I hear you.
But did you feel more comfortable
when you backed off?
I felt safe.
She feels safer when she backs off her boundaries. And so,
feel
how
safer
do you
or more comfortable?
Or more comfortable, maybe. I don't know. What does that
mean? I think those are different things.
I felt, I felt like, you know, and looking back now, I'm like mad at myself because I was put back in the same position I've always put myself in.
Because you weren't standing within your boundaries.
I wasn't truthful in my boundaries. There you go. Happy Friendsgiving, everybody.
Two snaps
for happy Thanksgiving, Friendsgiving. There we go.
Pamela, how do you know when you're living within your boundaries?
Oh, this has been tough this year. Just like when I know, like, I am at peace making the right decision, like, for my family. Like, that I just can live in peace and joy, even if, like, other people aren't. Mm-hmm. Because I worked hard to bring this sunshine to my life, and I can't let anybody take it away.
Yeah, that's good.
Catherine?
Very similar. I think we have similar situations and boundaries with our families. And I think when you set boundaries, for me, it has brought joy. And that sounds terrible because sometimes I think you have to cut people out sometimes to be healthy. I think you can recognize when it's healthy for you. And it brings more joy. That's when I'm more joyful.
Yeah, I'm similar. I know I'm living within my boundaries when I don't delay my happiness. Because I would delay my own happiness, and I would subject myself to the happiness of other people, or just really what other people wanted me to do, which would delay my own happiness. And when I don't subject myself to the abuse of other people,
yeah.
That's a big one for me.
I think that's probably a big one for all of us.
Yeah. We're getting deep tonight, girl.
Yeah,
damn,
Friendsgiving is.
Can we do a little cheers, by the way?
Is there anything we can end this on, like a happy? Cheers.
I know. Is there something we can?
What is one thing, Jana, that you hope that your amazing listeners take away from this episode?
That it's okay to set boundaries for yourself to make you get to that place that you like. For me, like I'm learning how to set boundaries to get to the place where I can stand and feel confident in those decisions. Although I get scared because I'm scared of people's reactions or what, you know. But I know that to be the independent, strong, healthy version of myself, that means setting very strong boundaries, even though I do get pulled back and sucked into the black hole. So I hope that what you can hear from that is like setting boundaries for yourself is a healthy thing to do. And especially around this holiday season, there could be people that you may not want to be around, but you have to be because they're family. But it's setting boundaries like, you know, if you don't want to hear Aunt Teresa talk about something crazy, you walk away. Right? That's your boundary. Walk away from Aunt Teresa. I don't know. Maybe not.
Right.
Julie?
What about you?
Yeah, I think boundaries is a big one. And I think just giving yourself the permission to feel the way that you feel without judgment, I think is a big one.
And also letting people, other people, feel the way that they feel without judgment.
Without judgment.
Like, you know, I think a lot of these like dinner table fights or whatever people, you know, have is because we can't like process what other people feel. Let them feel that, just like what we were talking. Like, that's okay. How are their feelings affecting your life and how you feel? So what if we don't agree? Who cares?
Right. Stay in your hula hoop.
Like, who cares?
It's a very, you know, in my own life, like when I find myself doing that, it's a very self-righteous thing. And so I have to mm-hmm. be like, why am I being so self-righteous right now? Like, why do I have to be right mm-hmm. in this moment? Mm-hmm. Why do I have to like have this person hear what I have to say? Because it's really not going to change anything.
Can I just say something to that really fast? There's been some information that came to light for me, and I've wanted to tell people to then tell people, well, see, I told you he hasn't changed. Is that in me that wants other people to know?
Validation,
yeah. Acceptance.
Right. How do you let that
in self-righteousness? By knowing that God, the universe, mm-hmm. like whatever you want, baby Jesus, like whatever,
God, baby Jesus.
Whatever, whoever it is.
Here comes baby Jesus.
Right. It's like, we are not powerful enough, but there is a power greater than all of us that will like handle all of that.
Oh, we don't have to wish that on anybody. It'll always happen. We don't have to.
All we got to do is like focus on ourselves.
Okay.
So keep the focus on yourself. Be the best person that you can be. Hold your boundaries. Say what you mean and mean what you say, and don't say it mean.
Be confident in your decision and knowing that you are, you know, capable of this decision for specific reasons. Mm-hmm. Like, why do you need more validation than your own freaking brain?
Well, and for a lot of people out there, because I know, I mean, Jana, you know, going to church and really getting rooted in your Christian faith has been such a strong part of your journey over the last couple of years. By you acting like you know best, you're basically telling God, I know better than you.
Truth.
So it's like by you wanting everyone to like, oh, what? No, but like, I was right. I told you I'm not crazy. You're not giving God the dignity, and you're not giving other people the dignity to find that truth within their own connection with God and with Christ. If you want to get like Christian about it.
And that's one of my biggest struggles. That's hard. Like letting God
be God.
Control over that and be God. Mm-hmm. That's so hard. Mm-hmm. That's such a hard one, but that's so true.
Because we're not God.
Mm-mm.
You know, we're not other people's God. We're not powerful enough. And so it's really admitting that that we aren't, and we are powerless to that, and like giving over the rest and like letting God come in and like do the job.
Mm. Man, this is a good Friendsgiving. This was good, y'all.
Should we end it on what we're thankful for?
Well, here's the thing. Let me just say what I took away from today.
Okay.
I know it's really hard to find really good girlfriends, but everyone should get a queendom.
Mm.
For sure.
Yes.
Because like non-judgmental, snaps.
And it's an honor to be in your queendom.
And save it as queendom in your text messages and send it to us. Send a screenshot. We want to see it.
Oh my God, that'd be so fun.
Because ours is queendom.
So screenshot
your queendom. We'll send you some screenshots of our queendom.
Your text thread. Your queendom text thread.
Yeah, we're missing Kristen Brust. But,
Hashtag wind down.
Yeah.
At Jenna Kramer.
Kramer girl.
We all know Catherine, but Julie and Pamela need you to promote yourselves. So go for it, Julie.
I'm Julie. I'm at Jules.
She's my ex-husband's wife.
I hope I'm so much more than that.
You are. You're my best friend.
Okay, I'm at Jules, JulesSolomon. I'm on Instagram at Jules Solomon. You'll see me on Jam
Stuff. And you're an influencer. Go ahead. You have got courses and everything.
I do. I'm a business coach and all that fun stuff. And if you follow me on Jules Solomon, you'll see all that.
Can you be my therapist?
I'm not.
Amy, you're good. You're good. Gonna be very upset if
you I love you, Amy, too. Can I have Julie and
No, you need Amy. Amy's an actual therapist.
But you're very similar to Amy. I love it.
And Miss Pammy.
I'm Pamela, and I'm sure you've seen me in our Ireland escapades. But I'm House of Bashery, and I just have a lot of fun doing DIYs and crazy stuff with my kids and friends.
Okay, let's all say one thing we're thankful for. Pammy, you go first.
My community.
I will say and I said this today over prayers, I said, I am so incredibly thankful for my queendom, because I think what friendship has helped me through and with, and, you know, these three girls have been my everything. And so I'm excited to share the good, the highs, the lows, and I'm just so incredibly thankful for them, because they are, I mean, every day it's like a Netflix show with our queendom text thread. It's so much fun. And they give me life and they give me light. And I'm just so thankful to have them as a part of my queendom.
Oh, I can't even top that. I'm definitely thankful for you guys. Non-judgment. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. It's a very non-judgmental room, and that's very important. And y'all are just there. You don't need anything. You're just there to be there. I love it. Mm. I love you guys.
Jules. I would agree. I think I'm just so thankful for the permission to be myself and to have such a welcoming and open space without judgment. I can be more of a vault, as y'all know. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be like sharing all the things. And so to be able just to have a space where you can do that is rare. And it's not to be taken for granted. So I really appreciate that.
We hope all of you have a happy Thanksgiving. Thank you for being wind down listeners. Thank you for listening. Thank you for just being faithful listeners and friends. And I'm gonna start crying.
She's gonna be emotional.
Just gonna start cheering.
Cheers!
Happy Friendsgiving.
Happy Friendsgiving.
Cheers! Cheers.